I adopted, basically took dairy and cheese and all that out of my diet, which it wasn't super easy, but when I started to feel better, it was just like, I can do this, you know? Then I tried taking gluten out of my diet as well at some point because I started hearing about how that can affect things. So between the dairy and the gluten coming out of my diet, it was quite life-changing. So I noticed that my sleep was better. My energy was like so much different. I wasn't having to sleep in the middle of the day. Once I started to feel good enough that I could focus more in on the details, I was able to look at things like, you know, what really has a lot of minerals and nutrients, and then kind of hone in on specific foods, you know, that really did or did not work with my body.
Mom.
Yes, what?
Slow down.
Sound familiar?
I get it. Mom life is demanding. There are no off hours, the pay is minimal, and your bosses are relentless. But there is a way that you can start giving back to the most important person in your life, you. As a mom of four, I get what it's like, but I promise you can start to enjoy life more, take time for yourself, and cultivate a sense of inner peace that all your friends will notice. My name is Jessica, and I'm the host of the Mom Slowdown podcast, where we will tackle topics important to us moms, discover the clues to healing and happiness, and take time just for us. Thank you for joining me on this journey to a happier, healthier, more satisfied version of you. Looking for even more joy? Check out my membership site at jessicanicole.love. Indulge in a yoga class, sip on a glass of Cabernet, or challenge your skills in the kitchen. But remember, Mom, slow down.
I want to introduce medicine woman and creative talent behind Ezra's Cafe in Indianapolis. Audrey has changed the indie food scene with her vegan, organic, and 100% non-GMO cafe. Ezra's will be celebrating 7 years of tantalizing us with its delicious and creative plant-based fare. Audrey is as passionate about plants as she is about empowering women to take back their own power, to heal from the earth, and to trust their intuition. Audrey shares with us her own health journey and why what we eat can heal us better than any lab coat. Let's take a listen to medicine woman Audrey Barron.
Something that works for you, especially when it comes to health. You know, I feel that you want to shout it from the rooftops and tell as many people as will listen. You know, mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about your path to healing with food and your story?
Absolutely. I mean, really, it's been my whole life. So I now that I look back on my childhood, I realize that I probably had definitely some chronic conditions at a very young age. Why, you know, I can hypothesize on all of that, but who knows? I mean, I grew up in the country, you know, we gardened. We also had a fair amount of processed food, right? Just like mm-hmm. we all did, and most of us probably did. So I kind of had an appreciation for both. And I would say my health was somewhat stabilized. Then when I got into college and into my early 20s, that's when things started to really take a nosedive. So for all the reasons that you can imagine. So, you know, just being away from parents for the first time, partying, sleep schedule off, living in a dorm and, you know, just eating the dorm food, which they really at that time, I mean, I would hope that it's changed by now, who knows, but at the time wasn't really focused on the students being healthy. It was more about just giving them
calories,
anything and everything they wanted. Yeah. So there was a lot of processed food, a lot of, you know, sugar, all that stuff. It was just kind of like a storm, like the perfect storm of everything. And I remember so many things. So I had started to have really terrible chronic sleep insomnia. So I was not able to sleep at night. And then I was falling asleep during all my classes. I mean, I remember coming home between classes and sleeping between every class. And that was the norm, right? And it was just like, it took me a while to realize like, hey, this isn't something's up. I remember starting to get sick a lot, you know, so when there would be like cold and flu season, one particular time I was so sick, I literally remember being like, I called my dad and was like, you need to come pick me up and take me to the emergency room. I can't move, you know, and that was like a cold or flu, right? And I remember sitting in the emergency room thinking, if this gets any worse, I feel like I'm going to die. And that's pretty intense, you know, and I, all of those things together was just like, sounding the alarm of Audrey, you need to look at what you're doing in your life. I was still pretty young. So it took me a couple years. And at the time, I mean, this was in the early 2000s. So everything on, you know, the media, TV was more about how you look, you know, be thin, count calories and all those things. It wasn't really about like, how can you be as strong, healthy, vibrant as possible? How can you prevent, you know, sickness? Of course, you know, this is going to age me a little bit, but like the internet really wasn't quite a thing at the time. So there was no Google. It wasn't that easy to just quickly find information. And not to mention, I'm living in the Midwest, right? So it's like, it's not like it's the mecca of health here. So it took me a while. And I, through a family member, started to learn about veganism. And I had always heard about, you know, vegetarian and veganism and never honestly thought I could ever do anything like that. And I was in a place where I was feeling so my hormones were disrupted. My sleep was disrupted. I was having skin issues. I was having issues with my periods. I was having really intense irritable bowel syndrome. Like it was just like everything in my life felt like it was falling apart. I felt like I was just kind of a shell of myself. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this vegan thing for a weekend. And it was 3 days of that, of just eating no meat or anything or dairy. And I felt a difference for sure. In 3 days, I felt a major difference. I don't care to talk. I mean, it doesn't bother me to talk about this stuff, but like my bowel movements were amazing. And I was like, wow, if that's amazing, you're going to feel much better than if you weren't regular. Right. So I was like, okay, there's something to this. I'm going to keep going with this a little bit. And so I adopted, you know, basically took dairy and cheese and all that out of my diet, it wasn't super easy, but when I started to feel better, it was just like, I can do this, you know. Then I tried taking gluten out of my diet as well at some point because I started hearing about how that can affect things. So between the dairy and the gluten coming out of my diet, it was quite life-changing. So I noticed that my sleep was better. My energy was like so much different. I wasn't having to sleep in the middle of the day. Once I started to feel good enough that I could focus more in on the details, I was able to look at things like, you know, what really has a lot of minerals and nutrients, and then kind of hone in on specific foods, you know, that really did or did not work with my body. And it's taken a decade or more, you know, to figure out. Yeah. And so changing my diet I was able to bring my period back. I hadn't had a period in 3 years. I was told I wouldn't have children or that I would have major difficulty with that. And that was like at age 30. And I was like, wait, I don't even know if like I want kids yet. And it was like all confusing. Like, what should I be doing? And so all of it kind of transpired. And so it's really everything that I do now that I'm offering with Ezra's Cafe and Medicine Woman comes from all of that, you know, of like, I really know what it's like to go through all the confusion, the pain, the discomfort, the suffering. And so it's kind of like my passion now to help people, you know, kind of find their own way. And where I'm at with it now is like, you know, I really don't believe, I mean, my restaurant is vegan, you know, it's plant-based, gluten-free, but I don't ever, you know, I'm not here to tell people that veganism is the way to go. Like you should be this or that. Like, I don't ever take that stance. It's more about just like tuning into your own body because everybody is so different. Everybody comes from a different background, different experiences, different bodies, blood types, all of that, really finding your own way. But there really is no bad about eating good plants, you know, like quality organic plants and eating a lot of them. Whether you choose to eat meat as well is kind of like, that's up to you. So I'm here to just kind of like tell people like plants are awesome. Here's everything you could do with them and all that. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's eat food, not too much, mostly plants. That's how you're going to live a long, healthy life. Yeah. But having that empathetic ear and having your struggle and experience, I imagine you have probably heard so many similar stories from clients, customers, people. I mean, we're in the Midwest. I mean, we're definitely in the top 10 of fattest, most unhealthy. Still, we've, you know, reigned supreme in that in Indiana. But bringing Ezra's and bringing this really was a movement to Indianapolis that I don't think, I mean, we had a little dabble here and there of health food stores and maybe there'd be vegetarian options that are usually like dairy heavy, really not any response to dietary restrictions, whether it's gluten-free or dairy-free, vegan, vegetarianism. And Ezra really brought that to the market. Just finding out in the medical community about the gut and how important it is. And they're like, well, is it the brain more important or the gut? And I imagine you've had such incredible stories of healing from other customers, clients, friends, and people that you've touched with Ezra's, with Medicine Woman. I mean, has that been the case?
Yeah, absolutely. We will have our 7th anniversary this August for Ezra's Cafe. So you know, I was doing this for years and years before then. So, I mean, it's been years of not necessarily always me, you know, people just telling their stories of how changing their diet changed their life over and over and over and over again. And what really is a theme that's been a common thread and also quite troubling are the stories of people going to their doctors and what their doctors are recommending and saying and telling them to do or not to do. And that to me has shown the disconnect in our mainstream medical, that there is a little bit of a disconnect. What's actually happening in the body and then how they're treating it. And so a lot of what's happening is it's just like kind of pushing pills to take care of symptoms, not really looking at the root cause. And I mean, I could go down a rabbit hole of why that is. I mean, doctors are really trying to keep their appointments to like, you know, 5 to 7 minutes. I mean, how can you possibly understand someone's needs in that amount of time? Why they're doing that? Again,
but there's no money in the cure, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to get everybody feeling healthy, I remember, and I've had a similar story as you, as far as, you know, chronic fatigue, adrenal fatigue. I mean, everything, Hashimoto's. I mean, it's all over the board with these kind of very gray area diagnoses, and never felt good and looked healthy on the outside, you know, to Western medicine. And they're like, well, you look fine. You know, I don't know why you're complaining. What's wrong with you? And then had finally found a really wonderful functional medicine doctor. And for the first appointment, she sat down with me and she said, tell me about the day you were born. And I was like, really? I'm 40. Do you have that much time? I was like, because I have a lot of medical issues to go over. I'm not used to this. She's like, did you have a traumatic birth experience? I was like, well, yeah. You know, I mean, it was incredible that someone was going to take the time, and that's not the norm. You know, it's like, tell me your symptoms. Okay, you don't feel good. Here's an antidepressant. Oh, you know, you're not pooping regularly. Let's take a pill for that. It's just sad. And I wonder if that doctors, they don't want to compete with all the big food companies, you know, the Tysons and the big lobbyists and all the money that's behind that. Because if we really start looking at our food, then some businesses are really going to have to start fessing up to what they really do.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big question, right? Is like, how do we untangle where we're at now? Right. So I don't know the answer to that, but so far being in this for a while, everything points to like what we're doing right now, which is having conversations on the ground level, you know, person to person, sharing stories, and just kind of having to look somewhere else rather than someone in a white coat or a large corporation, or really, honestly, anybody that claims to be an expert. Not that there can't be experts in certain areas, but anyone that's claiming to have the answer for everyone to me is like, you know, I think that there are, that's the beauty of the difference of all of us, you know, our bodies being different and everything, that there's, we can, each of us can find kind of like the puzzle that fits for us of like the foods and the supplements and the herbs and the movement and all the things that really kind of create well-being for us. And that's going to change over time as we age. And especially as women, as we go through the cycles of life, you know, that the difference between pre-motherhood and post-motherhood is very different. And the difference between being a bleeding woman and post-menopause is very different, right? So all of those things, it honestly takes us really unwinding and unlearning what we've been taught, which is to give over our own expertise on ourselves over to someone else. And as women, I mean, that's a deep thing, right? I mean, we've done that as a collective over and over and over again, because we are in a patriarchal kind of society, right? Of that kind of thing. So I get really passionate about it because it all kind of comes down to what are we going to do for ourselves to make sure that we are in control of our health, no matter what happens out there, no matter what. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, but I've definitely talked to many doctors, to nurses, and many people who have gone to doctors and their experience. And what seems to be happening is that there's pressure from the pharmaceutical companies, right? And to me, whenever you're getting paid, whenever you're getting a kickback, then there becomes an internal bias, you know, that is hard to get out of. No matter, and I believe most people that go in to become a doctor are probably good people, you know, that want to help people, right? It's not like they're going in there like wanting to like screw everybody up. It's just that the system itself is set up for making money and making the large corporations a lot of money, right? And I think it starts from the minute they go into the education for it, right? Because they get into so much debt to where you've got to then get the practice and like, it's so much pressure just to be called a doctor, you know?
And
it's
not like, even So they're not even making that much money anymore these days because of insurance and everything else. And it's like, let's just keep churning charts. You know,
exactly.
It becomes, yeah.
It's everybody's in a bad place. You know, it's not like you can't just point the finger at X, Y, or Z. It's like the whole system is now in a position where it's kind of sick. It is sick. And it's not here for the well-being. Not that there can't be gems. Certainly there can be gems of, you know, doctors who are really shining out there and nurses, absolutely. And I'm glad that we have modern medicine. It's there for a reason, but there's so much we can do for ourselves now here in our homes, really taking care of ourselves. And I think it also just kind of, to be blunt, takes us just kind of growing up.
And taking our power back as women, you know, and our, and our health, it's, especially as we become mothers, I think we are maybe more pushed to start to take some of that power back because now we're in charge of little beings and, you know, things that we wouldn't have done for ourselves, health decisions that we wouldn't have made for ourselves, going down paths and discovery. Maybe now we have the strength because we're like, hey, I've got to figure out what's going on with me or my health so that I can model appropriate behavior for my children. And now I'm responsible for these little beings. And you start to look at the world in a whole different place.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Because I'm always aware of what my kids are seeing me do, as I'm sure, you know, all mothers are. It's like they watch every move we make. Yeah. And there is never a better time than, I mean, from the moment, from the moment they're born, honestly, it's just like everything we do, they're taking in. They're taking it in, they're soaking it in. And those first foods and all of that are, I mean, this is a whole other subject, but it's important that we're introducing them to good quality foods because their taste buds are being shaped by what we give them. And if we're giving them sugary juices or X, you know, a lot of those packaged foods, which I, you know, I don't blame moms at all. I know what it's like to be, I mean, it's the hardest job. It's overwhelming. All the pressure put on us as mothers, especially, I mean, yeah, working mothers or not, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the pressure's right there no matter what. And so I totally understand why we would go for some of those easier things because we want so much for our kids. We want, you know, we want to be able to do it all. But if we are introducing them to processed foods at an early age, we're kind of setting their taste buds up for that. And that really ultimately comes back to us. If they see us eating the cookies or us doing X, Y, Z, then it's hard for us to say, here, you need to eat this, but mommy's going to eat that. You know what I mean? Kind of has to be like a cohesive thing, which actually turns out to be a good thing because that means we have to raise our bar. Like you said, there's things that we do for now, you know, having kids that we might not have done for ourselves. And I think that's one of the gifts of becoming a mother or a parent is that they kind of raise the bar for your life.
Yeah, you had a beautiful quote. It says, the more I experience the magic of my children, the more I want for them. Things like clean food, I mean, which are just basic. I mean, you're talking about basic necessities, clean food, clean water, clean air, and a world with more peace and less suffering. I mean, this is not asking too much. You know, and you're not asking, you know, for a road of without suffering and eternal happiness. It's like, we just want a clean world, clean air, clean water, clean food. I mean, these are, you would think, reasonable requests as a parent. And it's a struggle. I think it's fighting it. In the Indianapolis community, do you think they were ready for Ezra's? I feel like they were kind of hungry for it. Or did you find some resistance?
I definitely think people were ready for Ezra's, maybe not all of Indianapolis or Indiana for sure, but there were enough people that, you know, we've been here for almost 7 years for sure. So, and we've had a good mix from the time we started of those core customers and new people coming in all the time. I think it's because there's enough people out there. I mean, people are waking up all the time. Unfortunately, a lot of times because of their own health issues and going through the medical system and realizing that there's not really answers or the answers they want there. And so we're looking to food, we're looking to the basics. So far it's been good. I will say that one of the biggest things is people, I think people have a hard time realizing what it actually costs for truly organic non-GMO food at a restaurant. And now that I've been doing this as a restaurateur, you know, on this side of it, I understand why there aren't more places like this because you're not going to get rich doing this. I mean, there's ways to do it. Definitely. I mean, we figured out a way to do it that is working and we're able to pay our employees great wages and everything, but it's hard work and it's a lot of effort and time and all of that. But yeah, my hope was that when we opened in 2014, there were more places opening at the time, you know, because we've just gone through 2020. So unfortunately, the restaurant landscape looks different now, you know, which is really sad. My hope was that by now there would be more places. And I think there's still hope for that. You know, I think there's going to be resurgence and there's going to be more people adding these things to their menu and opening places like this. That's the hope, really. You know, my inspiration, what's why I named it after my son Ezra, was him. You know, I was realizing like, wow, where would I take him as a mom and feel, knowing what I know, you know, because I had done all this training, I'm like, knowing what I know, where would I take him and feel 100% comfortable? And so that's where it kind of snowballed from there. You know, I want people to be able to go and just, and really enjoy the food and just be, you know, it's just like, we have so many wonderful desserts and cakes and all that, things that bring us joy. And I'm like, we should be able to have those experiences without being like, oh, I've got to go for a long run after this, or, oh, I've got to do X, Y, Z. It's like, no, we can enjoy those things. And actually it can be deeply nourishing at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I think for sure. And the times that I've gone into Ezra's over the years, I love seeing the mix of crowds there and seeing new faces, seeing, you know, the people that come and get their smoothies every day, and always seeing, you're like, oh, I didn't know you came here, you know, and it's always, you know, it's awesome because you're seeing more and more people become interested, at least in the Midwest. I mean, obviously out on the coast, you know, they've been doing this for years and years and years, and it just hasn't filtered into the Midwest. And, you know, we're corn fed and, you know, it's meat first and what's on the plate, and really starting to look at what we see in the news and media. I mean, over the last decade, you know, you hear about Tom Brady being, you know, vegan, and Novak Djokovic, the amazing tennis player, being vegan, and all of these athletes, and you see more documentaries come out. And I think that it's becoming more mainstream. And I don't know if you would agree with that. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody's doing it right, and are they doing it for profit or exploiting, you know, veganism. At least it's on, I feel like it's on more people's radar of just being at least open up to the possibility of like, hey, let's maybe consider plants for one meal a week, or something that maybe they wouldn't have done, you know, 5 years ago, which is caused a resurgence of vegan meat products. What is your opinion of them?
I am not a fan. Yeah. I'm not a fan. I feel like, why are we moving in that direction? Making a burger look and feel like it's bleeding and like look just like the meat. And I'm like, it seems like more of a psychological situation happening there, and overlooking how it's affecting our bodies and the planet to eat this thing. A lot of them have a lot of preservatives, ingredients that I would never normally put in my body, genetically modified to the max. All of that directly affects everything, fertility, autoimmune issues. It's linked to all, just anything and everything. Not to mention the way that it affects the planet, you know, consuming so much genetically modified soy and all of that is directly killing our bees. It's depleting our soils. The farmers that are having to use those pesticides and herbicides are directly affected by that. And all of it's just not good. So that's where I'm at with it. And I'm like, you know, if we're going to do this, why don't we just be okay with eating more simply? Why does it have to be? Why do we have to have the big burger? Mm-hmm. That seems to me like we're just taking one, I don't know if you can call it an addiction, but one kind of focus. And instead of saying, let's really look at what we need, and just saying, oh, let's just replace this with that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
I mean, and they're looking at how, what it takes to process a cow and what it does to our ozone and our earth. And then instead of saying, really going to educate people and saying, you know, eating more plants, they're just saying, no, we're going to try to make meat in a lab, like actual meat with cells from animals. And I'm like, I mean, why is that so messed up? Instead of saying, like you're, like you were saying, like, we all need to look at eating more plant-based food, things from the earth, plants, not genetically modified foods or look-alike meats or things like that, because that's just going to continue to exacerbate the problem. It's not going to be good for our health. And all of a sudden, you know, when you look at someone's grocery cart and you see the things that they're choosing to put in there, and you're looking at, you know, the donuts and the crackers and the cookies and the frozen food, and it ends up being none of that is even food or processes food as, you know, in our bodies. And that it just is so far past food with all of the processing and chemicals and preservatives. You know, we're just consuming plastics and chemicals the whole time.
And I think we're really overlooking, we're just kind of like completely flying over from this thing over here, which is really all about factory farming, which I 100% agree with. Like, let's do away with that. It's just no go for the animals, the planet, people, all of it. But like, we're completely flying over the fact that, hey, there's small farmers right here that desperately want to do the things right. Many of them already are, and there's people who want to get into it. And there, I mean, you can say studies prove, but like, do we really need studies? You go to a small farm and you see the magic that is happening there. There's no study that needs to happen. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. When you are taking care of the soil and you are working with small amounts of animals and not factory farming, then it can be done in a way where the animal has a quality life. It's beautiful life, right? And I know that it gets into like the ethics, and I understand that, you know, there's people that are just never going to be okay with animals being eaten. But the thing is, like, we can't really tell other people what to do. Like, everybody is going to choose to do what they need to do. Some people literally thrive more having some animal product, and some people don't, right? And I can tell you, I know many people in my life whose health has declined when they ignored their body's needs to introduce some animal product into their life. And again, I would never say, well, doesn't matter. Just eat factory farm meat. No way. Like, that's going to introduce a whole nother slew of things. But I mean, we, especially us here in Indiana and Indianapolis, we're really lucky that we're surrounded by some pretty cool local farmers that where we can access this stuff. I know not everybody can. I do feel like it's similar to the medical issue we were just talking about with a mainstream healthcare system. It's similar to this, where we're just kind of like overlooking the solution, because those burgers make money, right? Mm-hmm. It gets people excited. It also gives money to the farmers who are already, you know, the farmers and the corporations who are already involved in genetic modification and all the pesticides. So that keeps them in business. Small farming, again, is it going to make you rich, you know, like super, super rich or anything, but it is it's a quality life for a lot of people, where they get to be outside. And it's not that it's not hard work, but they get to really like be in a quality environment. And so why not support that and allow the people who want to be vegan and allow the people who want to eat meat, give them a higher quality. And then perhaps maybe we just don't need to eat as much meat, you know, like, do we really need it every day?
Right.
You know, if we look at the cultures that are really like living to 100 and beyond, they're not eating a lot of meat or eating it every day by any means. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since you have 6 acres in mm-hmm. land that you've been farming for how long, or gardening?
This is our 6th year.
Yeah. What kind of things have you taken away about really getting your hands in the soil and things that you've learned? Has that been really impactful?
Oh gosh, absolutely. It's changed my life for mm-hmm. sure. It's given me an appreciation for the small farmers, you know, who are growing our food. Absolutely. Like it's completely given me a whole new perspective on that. It takes a lot of hard work, thought. I mean, it's a year round planning and work, you know, to keep that train moving. But the rewards that you reap, or that we have experienced, have been tenfold the work that we put into it. The connection to the earth is amazing. You know, having your hands literally in the dirt, I just feel good. I feel like it's definitely added value to my life, but also my physical health. Being outside in the fresh air a lot, getting that sunlight, the vitamin D is so important. And then also, obviously, eating the fresh, you know, the fresh food and the herbs is incredible. So our quality of what we're eating on our dinner table has been elevated. My kids have been able to experience this, you know, pulling carrots out of the ground. They see, I've got a whole shelf over there of seed starts. So they see it from start to finish, and they understand what it takes for food to be on their plate. And I think that's another disconnect perhaps for people, is that we just don't understand what it takes, and we don't have that reverence and the respect. So it's helped us to have our family to have more reverence and respect for the food, and to go even further to not waste, and to only eat what we need, right? And to, if there is extra, find ways to either give it away or to make sure that it gets used by someone. So all of those things have come into play. And then of course, it's just exciting for me, you know, to grow different plants and to get to know the plants. And especially because I'm an herbalist, I love growing medicinal herbs. And that's been the biggest joy for me personally, is the herbs that I've been using for years, maybe as tinctures or whatever, I'm now growing myself and I'm really getting to know that plant. And that has been amazing. So I'm just a plant person, plant nerd in general. So it's been endlessly fun for me.
When you get to put your love and experience and wisdom and gain that from the plants from start to finish, right? Rather than getting them from someplace else. And then we can go in and talk about your Medicine Woman membership, which has been really highly successful and sought after. Where do you see that going in the future, taking that membership?
You know, I'm just taking it kind of, you know, year by year. I'm not really sure. All I know is that it's deeply nourishing for me, and it seems to be for our members as well. This was something that, you know, we had tried a membership for the restaurant, which we still have. And we tried to kind of combine the two, where we had discounts for the cafe and then the learning. And we learned that people either wanted one or the other. So we kind of split it up into two. And that's when it like really hit me like, wow, I really like, this is like where my heart is right now, specifically for women. I've worked with women for years. I'm also a Maya abdominal therapist. So working with women with their womb health and fertility and all that. And when we came up with the name and decided on what we would be doing, I can't even explain like the deep, like sense of peace and excitement in like deep wells of my body. Like I was just like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is what I meant to do. All of it. I mean, the cafe as well, but like, this is something that I'm going to do for a really long time. And again, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like in a couple of years, but I think we're coming upon 2 years now. And essentially we're adding lessons every month around, it's three pronged. So what we're eating in the kitchen. So around creating plant-based gluten-free meals that are layered with really good medicine. And we're doing it in a way that's not overwhelming, right? You know, we're not creating gourmet meals here that are taking hours. You know, this is really like, what can we do in our kitchen with easy to find ingredients that are not overly expensive and all of that, and really making some meals that are so layered with medicine that throughout the week, as we're feeding our family is so deeply nourished that for me, I just feel a sense of peace, you know, knowing that all the herbs that are going into my kids' bodies without them even really realizing it. And so we're really teaching that, like how to layer that into our food. We're teaching women how to create their own herbal remedies, and whether they want to do that full on, or maybe they just want to learn a couple of things, or they just want to learn how to use the remedies, even if they buy them from someone else. It's really learning about how to like build that apothecary in your home so that when you're, you know, the middle of the night and you've got someone with, oh my gosh, they've got a terrible earache, or someone's got a rash and it's getting really bad, or someone had a bee sting or a cut or whatever, that we can say, okay, hold on. I've got this in my cabinet. I know what to do with this. And as a mom, I'm sure you understand those things happen all the time. You know, somebody's always got something going on. And so we're talking about how to handle some of those minor things, and then how to, of course, you know, go to the doctor if you feel you need to go to the doctor, but like, what can we do at our home so that we are reducing the times that we need to go to get something over the counter or get something in a bottle that might help with that thing in the moment, but is it also adding some things that we don't want in our body? So again, all of it is kind of taking that control back into our own hands. And then third is learning how to grow our own food and medicine. So, and of course, we've got women who are in apartments. We've got women who are, you know, who don't have that big of a yard, or maybe growing in containers, whatever it is. So we're kind of just talking about what you can do with the space that you have, and how to grow that food in a way that's really, you know, so that the vegetables and the herbs you are growing are, you know, full of nutrients and all of that. So
I'm on the wait list, so I'm excited for when it opens up. I also think that you're teaching such mindfulness and really getting people aware, not only of what they're putting in their body, how they're making it, creating it with love and interest and affection, and really giving them, you know, with awareness comes choice, right? Once you become aware what it feels like to nourish yourself with plants, what it feels like to feel deeply rested and energized, you know, once you know, you can't unknow. You can never go back. You're kind of on that path, no matter where you take it from there. I mean, I think it's really beautiful how you're educating people and really sparking that seed of awareness in their lives. Then that filters over to so much more. I mean, it starts with how we eat, but it really transfers over to their lives and, you know, feeling more gratitude and joy, really, which is ultimately, you know, what we all want.
And that's exactly right. And I will say those things I mentioned are what we're focusing on. But the main overarching theme is like self-empowerment mm-hmm. and tuning in with our intuition. So we weave that in all the time of like, tune in with what you need for your body, your spirit, your emotions in that moment. We have a whole method that we use that we teach because for me, I don't want anyone to look to me as the expert. I just want to be the guide of like, here are the tools, here's some ways to apply it, but you are the expert. Each woman, we are the experts of our own body and of what's happening in our home, right? We know our children better than anybody else. We know their little quirks. We know we can see when they look like, oh, like I can tell something's going on. And we're natural nurturers too. A lot of times women are. And so we tend, whether we've got kids or not, tend to care for others. Mm-hmm. And so it just helps us kind of tune into what we need and help us to tune into those around us too. And that's what we really mean by, you know, being the medicine woman is like being that woman who really understands how to use the plants that are you're either growing or that's in your environment or your community or whatever, bringing it into the home, nourishing and healing yourself and your family. And like the empowerment that comes from that filters into every part of our life. Because empowerment is something that is so important to our self-confidence, our self-esteem, all of it.